So the topic of my remarks today, and more than remarks, I believe a prophetic declaration with some layers of understanding. The declaration is, and this is the instruction that I was given at about 7:30 this morning, at this gathering, that my purpose for addressing you and those who will hear this message is to announce a change of season. Amen. That my purpose today is to lay down the announcement of a change of season. Now, having said that, we understand that we're preaching to principalities and powers. So today we're actually declaring to the heavens. We're declaring to principalities and powers. We're making known the manifold wisdom of God to principalities and powers, and the glory associated with that wisdom. So I'm here as one who will declare a change of season. Having said that, I also want to reach into the Scriptures, and I want to give some framework for the issue of season, the issue of how we should and are to respond to a season, and how we are to cooperate with and augment the operation of grace that is given for each particular season. I'll do so by beginning with a familiar text, Ephesians 1:10. Ephesians 1:10 says that there's, King James says, a dispensation. The newer translations, more modern translations, use the word an administration. And says, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, what does it say, Michael? Are you there? Read it for us.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him.
So read the first portion again, if you would, for us.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things.
Okay. In the dispensation of the fullness of time, He, God, will gather together all things in Christ. So, not to labor this, but to break it apart and understand it, we could say, no leap, no jump, no stretch. We could say, There's an issue of time discussed here. There's an issue of a dispensation or administration discussed here. Then there's an issue of what the Scripture says, that He will gather. Well, that's action. So there's a time described, there's a grace described, and there's an action described. And again, it's no stretch for us to say, in each season of our lives, and we could say about the seasons, we could say a couple of things. Number one, there are corporate seasons, seasons that have to do with the entire corporiety of the body of Christ. And there are also seasons at the personal level or the domestic level. You would be going into, or you would be in a season that I'm not in. And there are certain emphases associated with that season. Well, it would be improper for any of us or all of us to expect that I should go through exactly what you're going through in the exact same way you're going through it. Doesn't happen that way. However, there are corporate seasons whereby as the body of Christ, we're moving through something, and we're attended by a grace in that's being dispensed into and upon us in order to empower and help us both to go through the thing, to better understand the thing, and so forth. So there's action associated with my response to the season. There's action associated with what God is doing in the season, just like the verse that Michael just read. In this season, the text says, He will gather. He will gather. So, it's interesting to note, and it's been said before, but it really should be repeated today in the context of the announcement of a new season, that the word dispensation, found in Ephesians 1:10, the word translated also administration in the more modern translations found in Ephesians 1:10, that the original Greek word is a compound word that is actually the word that we get our English word economy from. This word in the original is oikos nomos, and it means the giving of a house, the giving of an administration, the giving of a grace from God. And I would say it this way, that each new season, every epoch in God, every season in God is attended by a grace that's perfectly matched for the season. In fact, in the New International Version of Ephesians 1:10, the Scripture says that there's an administration suitable for the fullness of time. So this administration brings with it, and in it's a package deal that we get the grace that's perfectly suited for the season. I'm going to say it again. We get a grace that's perfectly suited for the season. And I'm saying this to you emphatically to say to you, you'll never be in a day where you're at a disadvantage. You will never find yourself in a day where you are at a disadvantage. Why? Because God gives a suitable grace, a perfect grace, a perfectly matched grace for every season that you find yourself in. Ecclesiastes 3, familiar text to us, verses 1 through 8, a time. A time too. See, it's not just a time. It's not just ethereal or nebulous or cosmic. It's a time too. So there's action, practical wisdom, understanding associated with the season that we find ourselves in. A time to plant. Okay, now we just want to have wonderful doctrine about planting. We want to pontificate about planting. Let's gather every Sunday morning and dialogue about planting. Will that ever get it done? No, there's a time to actually plant. I'm looking at Dan Crawford back here. Dan's a planter. He's a grower. He's got a green thumb. But if he stays at home in the big chair, do things grow? No, he's got to get out in the field. He has to take the seed. He has to know the land. He has to have a measure, at least a measure of understanding about what it is that the final product desired actually is, and how to go about the process of planting and waiting, perhaps cultivating, perhaps watering, all of the associated twos, a time to plant, a time to reap or harvest, a time to it says, a time to speak, a time to refrain from speaking. How about some of that? How about just refrain from speaking in the season that it's actually illegal to speak? Selah. Stop and think about that. Just stop and think about it. You see, in the season, there's a grace in the season that perfectly suits and matches the season. And whereby, inside that season, inside that context, God may be speaking and dealing, and there may be nuance and particular emphasis that God is pressing you about or bringing you into and so forth that don't perfectly match where I am necessarily. But it's critical that we understand that these seasons exist, that it behooves us to continue to cultivate a hearing relationship with the Holy Spirit so we can better understand the season, better understand how to cooperate with the season, and so forth. As I was, and I think I said it to Carlos, as I was preparing these remarks in the full 2 hours I was given to prepare them, not my favorite, but that's the way it's worked this week. I've asked and waited and asked and waited and asked and waited. And even at 11 o'clock last night, I said, well, maybe we'll just dialogue and drink coffee and eat pound cake and be together. And that's okay, too. That's not inferior to anything. If that's the purpose, then that's the right thing for us to do. But as I was preparing in the last few hours, I thought about something that I heard a prophet say many years ago. And, you know, the wonderful thing about the New Covenant is God has written His laws on our mind and on our heart. So, really, nothing's ever new to us, because God's already written His laws on your mind and on your heart. That may be the first time you've heard it framed a certain way, but when it resonates with your spirit, you know it to be eternal, you know it to be revelation, and you know it to be true, because you've always known it. And when I heard this prophet say this, I knew he was giving us a key. Remember, Jesus said to Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Not the key to the kingdom. Jesus Christ is the only key to the kingdom. But Jesus told Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. This really lets you walk around and open the doors. And you can move around freely in the kingdom and open and close. Powerful. So the prophet said this. He said the Lord took him into a vision. And in this particular vision, there was an audible component to this vision. He said God said to him, first of all, he said God showed him the cross section of a tree, a cut tree, showed him the cross section of a cut tree. And God said, look here and see this. And God accentuated the growth rings in the cut section of the tree. And God said to the prophet, you see these growth rings right here? He said, this cross section represents my people. You see these three growth rings right here? You see how close together these growth rings are? He said, I want you to go back and tell my people in these 3 years there was a drought. A drought, like a spiritual drought. And go back and tell them, I never expected them to bear much fruit in these 3 years. Go and tell them, I never expected them to bear much fruit in these 3 years. And that came back to me this morning. And I knew to say it to you. I knew to say it again. And, you know, here's my habit. So I go to the internet. Because, I mean, after all, if you're going to get real revelation. No, of course, we get real revelation from God. But it's all around us. It's all around us. And I wanted to understand better this issue of growth rings. The growth rings that God sees in your life, about your life and about my life, and how we should actually view one another as He actually views us. So I went to the National Arbor Day Foundation. If you want to know something about trees, that's a good place to go. And there's a page on that site that is entitled The Living Forest. And this picture is a picture of it's a picture of a cross section of the very thing that the prophet saw. The very thing that the prophet saw. And, but it's got markings on it. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. So this is an actual photograph of a cross section of a cut tree. But it's labeled A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Each letter associated and pointing to a particular ring or set of rings in this cutting. Now, I couldn't do this, but the arborist, the master arborist, takes one look at this dissection and says this, well, this is a loblolly pine, and it's 62 years old. Well, that was impressive enough for me. I mean, that was actually impressive enough for me. Then the arborist goes on to say, and in 1920, this tree was born. Because the ring marked A, Exhibit A, tells us exactly when the tree was born. Now, in 1925, the tree was growing rapidly with no disturbance. And there was an abundance of rainfall in 1925. And sunshine. In spring and summer, the rings are relatively broad and are evenly spaced. But in 1930, are you impressed yet? I mean, this is impressive stuff to me. Not because of a loblolly pine. Not because of growth rings on the dissection of a tree. But because of you. Because you are the planting of the Lord. And because of me. Because I'm the planting of the Lord. We're like trees planted by the rivers of water, we're growing in our season, and our leaves are for the healing of the nations. But look, we don't all grow at the same rate. And we don't all grow in the same way in 1 year as compared to in another year. So in 1930, when the tree was 6 years old, something pushed against it, making it lean. The rings are now wider on the lower side as the tree builds reaction wood to help support it. In 1940, the tree is growing straight again. But its neighbors are growing too, and their crowns and root systems take much of the water and sunshine the tree needs. In 1943, the surrounding trees are harvested, the larger trees are removed, and there is once again ample nourishment and sunlight. The tree can now grow rapidly again. In 1946, a fire sweeps through. The arborist knows these things by looking at the growth rings. Fortunately, the tree is only scarred, and year by year, more and more, the scar is covered over by newly formed wood. In 1958, these narrow rings at letter G on the tree ring above may have been caused by a prolonged dry spell. One or two dry summers would not have dried the ground enough to slow the tree's growth that much. 1973, another series of narrow rings may have been caused by an insect like the larva of the sawfly. And so on and so on. Why is this even important? It's important for this reason. Today, some of you sit here and God is looking at your growth rings and seeing the various seasons of your life and saying, okay, this is what happened in 3 years ago or 7 years ago, or this is what's going on in the last 18 months. This is what happened 12 years ago. This is what happened 45 years ago. So when the prophet said, go and tell my people, these three growth rings that are very close together, go and tell my people, I had no intention of them bearing much fruit in these 3 years. Here's why this is important to us. You see, for some reason, we're susceptible to religious fables, traditions of the elders that make void the power of God. We're susceptible to rumor and conjecture and opinion that cause to be set up in us a mechanism that presses us to judge ourselves on the basis of all of that rather than saying to our Father, judge me, Father. Mm-hmm. You tell me, Father. And I'm going to take it one layer further. The judgment should only rightly come primarily from Father big F and Father little f. Because you put brother and brother in the same room and they'll judge one another based on their sibling rivalry, based on who they still think their father's favorite is, and all manner of other human and secular and natural and carnal views and aspects. So I'm here to say to you today, you've got growth rings. And by those growth rings don't determine, but define where you've been, the pain you've suffered, the difficulties you've endured, the years of joy, the seasons and the months of joy, great joy, and and the seasons of despair. The years that there was a seeming drought, and the years of the abundance of rainfall and sunshine. And we don't have to stretch anything to understand that we all experience all of this. It's called life. Life. So I'm announcing to you today a change of season. I'm also announcing to you that the new season has an associated grace, and that the grace for the new season is perfectly suited for the new season and is a different grace than the grace for the last season was. So it's quite possible, and I frame it emphatically and definitively that way because I don't want to stand up here and do or say things that imply a BMW in every driveway and, you know, all of this, right? But I do say this. God is for us and not against us. I do say this, that Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. I do say, according to the Scriptures, that all things that pertain to life and godliness are given to me and given to you through the knowledge of Him. So yes, we're called to be a prosperous people. Yes, it's ordained from our Father and by our Father that we would prosper and be in health and manifest and show forth the glory of a risen Christ. This is the truth. That doesn't mean that we don't go through times of difficulty. It doesn't mean that we don't go through times of spiritual drought. It doesn't mean that God doesn't ordain seasons that are particularly suited to get at the stuff in us that keeps us from experiencing His fullness. One young man said to me, he said, I'm just in a place with God and God is dealing with me about this, and God is dealing with me about that, and God is dealing. And I just finally said, Jason, God's not dealing with you. He's dealing with the stuff that's got you. Be still, man. Be still. Quit hopping around. Let God get the crosshairs like a trained sniper on the stuff that's holding you back, and let Him pick that stuff off one by one by one by one. But you keep flailing around like this, you might get to experience some friendly fire, man. Just be still. How about God's grace perfectly crafted for you in the season that you're in? 2 days ago, I heard the verse, Isaiah 54:2. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. This morning, when I came out of my bedroom, I had a vision. Oh, no, it wasn't a vision. It was actually the real thing. My wife was standing on both of her legs without any mechanical apparatus. And I was a bit shocked because I thought we had agreed she wouldn't do that. She would only use the walker. But when I confronted her with that reminder, she promptly advised me she didn't have time for the walker this morning. Too much to do. So I'm saying we're going to get our old Melinda back, a better Melinda, a new model. She's She's got bionic ankles now, and both. I mean, she's going to be. She's going to fully recover, and she's doing great.
You're going to be able to keep pace with her?
It depends on. See, we have different graces. I'll just because somebody needs to hear this in Internetville, I'm going to say this. Melinda's the CEO of this here outfit. That's going to tweak somebody's doctrine right there. That's going to push around somebody's theology, but that's okay. What is that? You know, I think it was George Clooney said, you know, who died and made you boss of this here outfit? Well, we've got a CEO in this here outfit, and I'm smart enough to know it's not me. So, we have different graces. She can't do what I can do. She shouldn't try. I can't do what she does, and I shouldn't try. You know, it's stunning to me how quickly we can jack up the scriptures. You know, you hear some of the doctrine, and the two shall be made one. And you know what the script is that's running through most of the heads? That the two become him. That's the script that's actually running in the background. What do you call that? That program that's running in the background, Tom, what is that? You don't know? It's not good, though, is it? No, it's hogging up memory, and it's doing all kinds of stuff to the internal dialogue. Yeah, it's messing with the other programs that you're trying to run. So, anyway, moving right along. Announce a change of season. I was visiting with a young businesswoman about a year ago, not quite a year ago now, and she said to me she was having some thoughts that were a bit troubling to her about her business life. And when I inquired what those thoughts were, what they had to do with, simply that they had to do with enlargement, enlarging the business, had to do with growing the business. And the particular thought she was having would actually double or triple the volume of the business and so forth. But it was troubling her. And I continued to inquire to learn and understand why these thoughts would trouble her. And she began to describe a former season in her life in which God required her to pull in her horns, to submit to a time and a season and a form of diminishment and reduction and limitation. And in that season, God was using all those things to get at something that God knew would trip her up later in life, if not. Ambition. Greed. Love of money. God was after all of that. He was uprooting that. And you know, the way God goes about doing these sorts of things is perfectly suited to the individual. It's not a one-size-fits-all. Yeah, I mean, it may look like what the other went through or is going through, but it's never a one-size-fits-all. So as she described a time in her life that God was really reducing her, restricting her, confining her, limiting her. And she said, and in those days, the product, the outcomes were, she said, I felt ambition completely leave me. You know, having the biggest toy box and all of the toys no longer motivated me. Being a millionaire, lots of money, that went completely away. And to the point that she described coming to a place in which she said, I'm content with you and what you've given me. It's all I need. You're all I need. So she described that former season. And when she did, I said, so let me ask you this. Do you believe, be honest, do you believe that you learned everything you should have learned in that season? And she said, yes, I do. I said, then why are you now responding to new opportunity as if you didn't? Would you now expect your father to continue to keep you in the limited place, even after you'd learned the lessons that you should have learned? Wouldn't you now understand that God, your father, now can trust you with more? He can trust you with enlargement. He can trust you with greater opportunity because you went through that last season successfully. And she said, I get it. I said, then engage the new opportunity. Get your arms all the way around it. Don't be afraid of it. It'll never control you. If God gives you all that He wants to give you, it will never control you ever again. Now I say that and share that because in the last season, and I would say for us, I think this is certainly much more general than just us. But in the last season, much of our experience was defined by limitation and constraint. And even at times, lack. Now, lack is relevant. We have friends in the third world this morning that are experiencing a different kind of lack than the kind that we experience. But we truly actually experienced a lot of those things. I'm now referring to my notes only because I don't want to leave out any important point. The last season was difficult in many ways. Don't compare seasons by the exact same measure. I wrote an article. God gave me an understanding some time ago, and I wrote an article that's posted on our website entitled The Tyranny of the Ideal. How that measuring and judging things according to a standard that we ourselves might call the ideal can be tyrannical. Because our ways are not God's ways. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So, the tyranny of the ideal. Don't judge yourself. Don't judge yourself. I know the Scripture says, judge yourself. And I think to a degree, there's a legitimate process. But if you find yourself conflicted, if you find yourself confused, if you find yourself asking and not being clear about the answers, don't continue in that process. Don't mire yourself in that process. Back away. Back out. Ask your Father. Who knows you best? Ask your Father. Last season, we've talked about the growth rings. The grace for the last season for many, not necessarily for everyone, but the grace for many attended them in times of limitation, restriction, lack, loss, minimized opportunity, confinement, reduction. Do not assume nor allow the circumstances of the last season to define your movement, your vision, or your view in the new season. Kathy, I was thinking about you. You got a new place to walk. It's a new place in the same old place. But you're walking in a way that you've never walked before. I believe that's a spiritual, prophetic reality for your life in this new season. Don't be limited by what you have or don't have. God didn't call you to live by what you have. He called you to live by every word that comes out of His mouth. We refuse to be limited by what we have, and we refuse to be bullied by what we don't have. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I look around the room and I see the pain. I see the strain of the difficulties of our lives. But I'm here to announce to you a new season. New doesn't mean perfect. In the old season, in the last season, give yourself the gift of not second-guessing whether you did it all perfectly. I'm going to say that again. In the last season, you know, I'm still, after all these years, I'm working with people who are trapped in the 90s. They're trapped in the 80s. They're trapped with daddy issues or mommy issues. I'm not making light of that, but I'm saying, how long will you allow those things to control your life? Here I sit, having those severe issues in my teen years, in my childhood years. I understand it. I was a victim of it. But I know this, when God, my Father, spoke to me from the Scriptures and He said, God is not a man that He should lie, or the Son of Man that He should repent. Has He said and shall He not do it? Has He spoken and shall He not make it good? I said, I'm with you. I said, I love Him, but I'm with you. I love her, but I'm with you. I love them, but I'm with you, Father. And it's made all the difference. I'm announcing a change of season. Yvonne, Sue, Angie, Alden, man, come on. Pick this up. Own this. I didn't make this up. This isn't conjecture. I didn't, I didn't pull out a bunch of old notes and strap something together that we could have for a meeting on a Sunday morning. I believe this is the Word of the Lord. Pick it up. Own it. Make it yours, and then let your life in the new season reflect the grace that God is giving in the new season, by doing. Watch this. 1 Chronicles 12:32. The sons of Issachar. It says the sons of Issachar had understanding of the times. And they knew what Israel ought to do. See? This grace suitable for the fullness of time. It said God would gather together. Do. That's a do. God will gather together all things in Christ. That's God doing something. Gathering something. There's an action associated with the grace that attends the season.
Well, that was good.
I'm announcing a change of season. For you. I'm announcing a new day for you. Did you learn what you were to have learned in the last season? Then what kind of a God would God be? What kind of a father would Father be to put you through those paces over and over and over and over again like Groundhog Day? That's not your father. You graduated. Now do something with your education. You learned what you were to learn. Now stand up, get up, and walk in it. Here's how Paul describes this activity. Let me get it for you quickly. Or not so quickly. Don't you love technology? We love it when we love it. And then we don't, Tom. we're close. We're close now. Here we go. Listen to our great apostle. Not the greatest apostle. The greatest is the chief apostle. Actually, I have some business cards printed up. Chief apostle, Yvonne. That's what I want to be. I don't want to be an ordinary apostle. All right, everybody that's listening to me that doesn't know me, I'm just kidding. All right, here it is. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, let us, here we are, this is us, let us, therefore, as many as who are perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything we have other And if in anything we are otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Live up to, the NIV says, live up to the measure. If in the last season and former seasons you apprehended a new measure, then live up to the measure. If the bar and the standard was raised, then your Father anticipates and expects that you will live up to the measure of that, we would say, that measure of the fullness, or that measure of the standard of the fullness of Christ. We're not children anymore. We're not babes anymore. There's a calling and an expectation on our lives. And for this reason, and that coupled with the fact that God has meticulously spared no expense to educate us and train us and prepare us. And now here we are. And God is saying, live up to the measure. Enlarge the place of your tent. And that'll mean 100 different things for 100 of us. But for some of us, the thing that's crouched at the door to upend the opportunity is the voice of the accuser and the claim that we are still who we were. And to that voice and to that accusation, I say no. Stronger than that, but we have children in the room. No. You are not who you were. No. I am not who I was. I'm here today, not as who I was 10 years ago or 30 years ago. I'm not a boy. I'm a man. I'm a son and a father. I'm not fully perfected, but I'm walking in a measure, and I'm living up, doing my best to live up to that measure in this season. How about you? A new season. Philippians 4:13. Who can quote it? Who can quote 11? Who can quote verse 11? Funny how that works, isn't it? Oops. That's 12. Close. Maybe we should read it. Beginning with verse 11, Philippians 4. I love the framing here. You got to see this. You got to see this. Here's the first bookend. Not that I speak in respect of want. See, Paul refused, he refused to permit his soul to even consider want. He said, in the first bookend, he said, this is not the context. This is not even about want, not about need. That's not what my comments, the ones I'm about to lay down, have nothing to do with need, and they have nothing to do with want. I'm not speaking about that. He goes on to say, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. For I have learned. What do we think much of what was going on in the last season was about for us? What was it intended to produce in us? It's pretended to produce in us the ability to stand with God and say, I have learned. I have learned, he said, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. One of your big words, Michael. Content. I've learned how to be content. And that's the context. Verse 12. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now watch this. Some of you have heard me say this before. Melinda and I were on our way home from Scottsdale, Arizona once. We're driving down Interstate 10. She was driving. I was riding. And I went away. And for quite some time, I was away. And finally, Melinda said, are you okay? And I was sitting in the passenger's front seat, tears streaming down my face. She said, are you okay? And I said, I'm not okay. She said, what's wrong? I said, I don't know how. She said, what? I said, I don't know how. What are you talking about? I don't know how to be abased. I don't know how to abound. What was I saying? I was saying to her, I haven't learned yet. I'm sure that I haven't learned yet. I can't stand with Brother Paul shoulder to shoulder and say, me too. Me too. I've learned. Now, I would say this, since that day, and that was some years ago, since that day, I believe that I have learned. Fully, I wouldn't go that far. Completely, I wouldn't stretch it. Don't ask me to. But I can tell you this, today, I know how to be abased. I'm married to a woman who knows how to be abased. You could look at the growth rings on our lives and you could see that in 1975 and in 1983 and surely and certainly in 1990 those rings got tight. And for some years, those rings were very close together. Oh, and by the way, I left something out. The growth rings. Do you know what the annual growth ring looks like? It's dark. It's dark. So you don't count all of the growth rings because the ring is but a season. It could be weeks, it could be months. But the dark ring is a year. So they actually count the dark rings to determine the age of the tree. The dark rings. That sounds dark, doesn't it? Hey. New season. Sue, get yourself ready. Get your mind right. And we could go around the room and call everyone by name and say, this is a season of opportunity. Don't say 3 more months until the harvest. Harvest fields are white. Harvest fields are white. Part of our challenge is we go through life with our head down. We go through life self-absorbed, thinking about me, my, you know, as old brother Jerry would say, you know, get all you can all you get, sit on the can. We go through life absorbed by us. And consequently, we walk right past the opportunity and we don't see it. So I'm saying to you, my call to you today is lift up your eyes. That's exactly what Jesus said. Lift up your eyes. The fields are white. The harvest. The harvest is ready and around you every day. I'm going to prophesy to you now and say the same people you've been seeing in the same ways all of this time, you're going to see them differently. If you'll open up your eyes and see them through the eye of God. You're going to see that person differently, and in a moment of time, you're going to give yourself permission to close the case and close the file drawer on your relationship with them, and you'll put away all of the evidence of their immaturity and insecurity and their pettiness and their backstabbing ways and all that you know about them. You're going to be willing to let go of all of it because you're going to see that person as one who's actually been victimized by the former life that they've come out of, and they've never learned how to deal with it and let it go, and they don't have the Father that you have. It's going to empower you to let go of all the stuff that you know about them and see them differently than you've ever seen them before. And when you do, God's going to break your heart, and He's going to soften you in your thinking toward them, in your view of them, and the words that you're able to speak to them, and the gestures that you're able to give to them will be the very thing that they need to help break them out of the old place that they've been bound up in. It's a new day. A new day, a new season. Why would we permit the stuff of the old season to continue to drag us down? I'm telling you, from this place, we can run on into a new measure of our individual and corporate destiny. Stretch forth, enlarge the place of your tent. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. You know how the previous verse, you know how this whole thing sets up? Isaiah 54:1. Sing, O barren. Sing. God announcing to the barren woman, I'm going to give you a new song. You know, every new season has its own new song. Don't you love that about God? I mean, He's just that cool. God is just that cool. He gives a new song for the new day. I'm pretty retort. This is not a pep rally, but I'm excited. I hope you are. I hope you'll take this word. I hope you'll own this word. I hope you'll metabolize this word. I hope you'll as your Father would so personalize it to you, let it become the new standard for the new season for your life. So to the point that if the accuser rises up or old thoughts or whatever press against you, you would be able to turn and look at them and say, what do I have to do with you? This is not who I am. Father, we lay all of these things at your feet. Lord, so many, even in this gathering, experienced and experiencing times of difficulty, times of many things that we've spoken about today. But today, my prayer to you, God, is that your word would be so enriched in us, that your grace would be so perfectly crafted for us, that even the places and times of difficulty, just as the Scripture says, even darkness is light to you. That even in a dark place, the light that you are will break forth and shine on us and on our path. Father, for every person in this gathering and those who hear this message, my prayer is that we would shake ourselves from the dust of the former things, that we would rise, God, that we would rise and elevate our view to even as we elevate our view to see you and see what you are doing, that we would, our ears would be open in a new way, and we would hear with more clarity, and there would be an acute awareness of what you're saying and what you're doing. And we, like the sons of Issachar, would have understanding of the times. Father, with this great grace, you're blessing us, you have blessed us, and you're continuing to raise us up as a company of men and women and young people in the earth, family of God, house of God. We are grateful. We are blessed. We look to you and we say thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. One more thing. Issachar, sons of Issachar, they had understanding of the times. This is 1 Chronicles 12:32. If you back up 20 or so verses, what you have in this chapter, chapter 12, is you have God laying down a list of all of the various tribes of Israel. And the list is descriptive of how each particular tribe was gifted and hardwired with regard to warfare. That these were incredibly gifted with sword and spear. But these others were incredibly gifted with the bow. And these others, like the Gideonites, had, not the Gideonites, but the anyway, one of the tribes said when they charged into battle, it said their faces like almost contorted and they looked like lions. But the point is, this listing is a description of how each tribe differed in their unique qualities and skill sets with regard to warfare. And then it comes to the sons of Issachar. And these had long bows, and these had swords, and these had spears, and these had this, and the others had that. And they get to Issachar. And what does Issachar have? Understands what time it is. Understand the times. Understand the times. Understand the times. Rock and roll song says, I was at the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. You can be at the right place at the wrong time. Understanding the time is critical. Important. Critical. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Don't rush off. Feel free to stay in fellowship.